It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So those astronauts that went up on the Starliner made by Boeing, they went to the International Space Station. It was supposed to be 8 days. There's something going on with the spacecraft, and it's turned into 2 months. And now they're saying it could be February before these two astronauts, one from Massachusetts actually, can come back to Earth. What's going on? We go to our space guy, our space correspondent, the Brian and Company space correspondent, Lon Seidman from Lon.TV. Lon, how's the summer going?
Summer's going great. It's busy.
Good. It's good to be busy. I mean, it's nice to have time off, but in our business, man, it's better to be busy because that means you're working.
I got kids that truck all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Two of my three have licenses now. That's pathetic. I'm so bleeping old.
Awesome.
Yeah. So what's the problem here, Lon?
So the problem is that they have thrusters that basically allow the ship to maneuver in space that they don't have full confidence in. So some of these were leaking on the way up, and after they docked, they realized that they had more testing to do. And I think as they've been testing, they're seeing things that might concern them or might fall outside the mission parameters. And what they're kind of grappling with here is that they've got astronauts safe right now in the space station. There's multiple ways to bring them back if they stay in the space station. But if they go in Starliner and leave and there's a problem, now they're really stuck. And it's not as simple as just sending up another spaceship to get them. Why not?
Let me just interrupt you for a second. I mean, again, like, I'm a dope. And I know nothing about science, but it's 2024. Elon Musk seems to say, like, let's send something up tomorrow. Like, why can't they just sort of plan a quick mission in an emergency kind of way?
I suppose they could do that. You know, NASA has a very conservative decision tree, and that comes from the accidents that have occurred where astronauts have died because they missed something, and that missing item ended up being what ultimately killed the crew. And I think what NASA is trying to do here is work through every contingency to figure out what level of risk they're willing to tolerate. And spaceflight is so risky as it is. If you look at the space shuttle, you know, it had about a 1.4% failure rate, which would be totally unacceptable for modern aircraft, for example, right? That you lose two out of 135 flights. Right. So from NASA's perspective, they want to make sure the decision they make is as filled with data as possible so they can know exactly what they're working with. The problem with Starliner is that all the systems that drive these thrusters are outside of the spacecraft. And after Starliner comes back, it will not have that equipment on it anymore because it jettisons that whole thruster fuel package before it goes into the atmosphere. So they have no way to study it after the fact. So I think they're trying to figure out how to fix this problem for future missions, but also gauge the risk here. And don't forget, too, NASA is a very tight-knit operation, especially when it comes to the astronaut corps. So the people making these decisions are making decisions to determine the safety of their friends. You know, this is not just some crew member somewhere. These are people that they have very deep relationships with. So I think all of that is weighing heavily here. And from their perspective, they have enough supplies to keep them up there. The astronauts don't mind being in space longer. So why not stretch it out? And one of the things they're looking at is the SpaceX rescue plan here, which would be that they'd send up the next crew mission with two rather than four crew members, leaving room for the other two to get on. But even the suits they wear for reentry are different between the two spaceships. They're part of the system. So they have to make sure they have suits available for them. There's a whole, you know, big, long list of logistics if they do want to go to another ship. But docking these two capsules in orbit is something they've never contemplated. And I think that would that's their fear, is having them stuck in a spacecraft that's orbiting the Earth that can't maneuver with very limited supplies. And that's probably what NASA is dealing with right now.
We're talking with Lon Seidman from Lon.tv. Again, go to YouTube, his channel. It's got tons of great stuff, including a lot of product reviews. And he's a big space guy, you know, goes down to Orlando and does the launches and so on and so forth. A couple of questions. I always thought resupplying the ISS, they're pretty good at it now. So I don't know if supplies are necessarily the issue. But what are these people what are they doing? Like, how are they spending their days? Because they only had stuff to do for a week. And right. So are they just sleeping and eating bonbons and watching the scientists? Like, how do they pass their time?
From the astronauts I've spoken to, they are so busy up there because they have science experiments to do, but there's also a ton of maintenance that they have to do on the space station. So I would imagine they've put them to work taking on a lot of the maintenance tasks that free up the main crew for other things. Because there's not that the things are breaking, but they need constant attention. You've got a self-enclosed environmental system that's been running continuously since 1998. A lot of the parts of that actually are made right next to the airport in Hartford. So it's a lot of Connecticut components to the space station's life support systems. But there's a ton of work to do up there, and the crew is often frustrated because the things that they're there to do often get pushed aside to deal with maintenance tasks. So having an extra couple of hands on board, I'm sure, is being put to good use.
So last question for me, Lon. I might have a follow-up, but we're talking with Lon Seidman from Lon.tv. How bad is this for Boeing? I mean, they've obviously had a terrible time with their airplanes in the last 2+ years. And this ship, which looked awesome, right? I mean, this ship just looks cool. It clearly is, you know, to have this kind of issue, it's got to be a real negative for them.
Oh, it's awful. And I think part of what's driving this, and I'm sure they're in the room saying, hey, our spacecraft is safe, send them home, because the last thing they want is to have to get bailed out by their competitor, right?
Yeah.
And we were there at the last mission of the space shuttle, and I wrote a story for a CT News Junkie about the transition to this commercial space thing. And there was a guy from Boeing there who had total doubts about SpaceX. You know, they're all talk. They're never going to get there. But what do you know? They got there and have been farther ahead. And I think the bigger issue here is the shift that NASA made in how they pay for these things. So prior to this commercial crew program, it was a cost-plus contracting scenario, similar to how the defense contracts work. They shifted it to fixed cost, which means that the contractor has to have a lot more skin in the game. And because SpaceX began under that funding mechanism, they were much more attuned to developing lower cost systems than I think Boeing was accustomed to. Having to work with those constraints financially was just not part of the culture, especially with government contracting. And I think that's driving a lot of it. But yeah, I mean, it's not good for Boeing. I my bet is that they're going to send them back on that Starliner. But it's going to be a very nail biting decision, I think, that they're going to make to do it.
Well, I think of like that movie with Sandra Bullock and Clooney or whatever. Like, I mean, if they detach and try to come home and something goes wrong, then they're going to just be, I mean, they're worried they're going to just be floating around and someone's going to need to go get the ship.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be you know, if that happens, they're not going to let them die up there. They're going to try to probably get them. And I think what will happen is they'll put together some hastily prepared SpaceX mission where they'll send a capsule up, change the docking ring on it so it can attach to the other ship and try to get them home. But that takes a lot of time. So I'm sure they're thinking about all those things, but that's probably why they're taking so long here, is that if they're going to put them back on that thing, they want to have some assurances that they're not going to get stuck. They did hot fire the thrusters attached to the station, so they have some degree of confidence that they're going to work, but who knows? And I think that's what's driving this delay.
Last thing, with the YouTube channel, anything of general interest to people that you posted in the last month or so?
Well, I've got some news. I'm going to the White House next week. I got invited to a conference. Yeah, on independent content creators. They've invited a bunch of us to the White House along with some industry people to talk about the business, which is really exciting. So that's going to happen next week. Full day.
Don't steal too many pens or anything. They're keeping an eye on that now.
I'm taking everything: napkins, pens, whatever, you know.
Well, have a great trip. Maybe we'll talk to you in the back end.
Absolutely.
It'd be fun to find out about how the experience was. It's a thrill.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I have no idea what they're going to talk about, so it's going to be a lot of fun. There's not many of us going either, so it's a small group.
Yeah, have Joey set that up for when you get back. I'd love to catch up on it.
Will do.
All right, thanks, Lon. Have a great trip.
Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Lon Seidman, Lon.TV, joining us here on Brian and Company. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.